You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, September 23rd, 2024. Grandpa Dan kicking off your work week, kicking things off at RadioAlbion.com. I'm glad you joined me today, and I think we'll have a fun discussion. I've kind of gotten away, as many of you probably noticed, I haven't been using articles to link up here as of late. And one of the reasons, one of the reasons for that is I tended to rely, I used a lot of articles from RT. So much of what is being written now in Western media is just nonsensical, just such ridiculous, I mean, really, really low-tier propaganda to the point that I can't even use it with a straight face. There's just not anything really informative to use there. These things are almost parody pieces at this point. And we see now that the U.S. government is laying this groundwork. They're obviously setting up the narrative for anyone disseminating RT is by default like a de facto Russian agent. We're early on in that, but I see that's where they're going with it. So as such, I'm not comfortable using not just RT, but there's other foreign media as well. And once they lay that groundwork, once they're done with that, it could get kind of dicey. So as such, I'm tending right now to just speak on broader topics in general, my thoughts on broader topics without linking up these articles and going through the news article. I'm still going to do some of these news article stuff, but right now it's so limited. Like I say, Western media sources are so poor. I mean, yes, I could probably go to the Daily Mail and do another show on transgender athletes competing in women's sports. I'm not interested in that. I know those stories can be fun, have a snicker at them and whatnot. I'm not interested in doing that. So I'm not going to do that. Now, I thought we'd talk a little bit today. I made a point here. Oh, it's been a little while back. And I believe it was on my Parish of the Patriots show some time back. And I made a point. I was referencing Paul Craig Roberts' view in criticizing Vladimir Putin. And, you know, his view that Putin has been, you know, too soft. He's been too diplomatic. And this is leading to more escalation and war. And that it was a mistake on the part of Russia, on the part of Putin and Moscow. And I made a counterpoint to that, which I'm summarizing briefly here, that the flip side, another way to look at that is perhaps these people had figured out that, look, we're eventually going to have to fight NATO. I mean, it's going to come to a fight. So before we do that, what better way to go about it than to let the West exhaust themselves and grind up their military capacities, just sending everything to the Ukraine to get blown up. And then when it comes to an actual direct engagement, they're not going to have the capability to do that. Today, I'm going to kind of take a little bit of an opposite take on that, and it may seem contradictory at first. You see, I'm always about looking at things from different angles. You know, I always say you've got to be willing to challenge your own views. If you look at things and say, well, I think this is the case, you've got to be willing to also look at it from the opposite direction and challenge that so that you're constantly seeking the truth. Now, what prompted me to have this discussion is this feeling. I think a lot of y'all probably have it too. You know, this feeling that something big is about to happen. You know, something's got to give. You know, there's just so much going on. You just get this gut feeling that things are getting ready to come to a head. Things are fixing to come to a climax somewhere, somehow. Some really big happening is getting ready to pop off. We don't know what it is, but you just can't help to have, you know, to have this gut feeling. I think a lot of it, I was thinking this morning, and I think a lot of it may be hinging on this current discussion that is going on over whether to, quote unquote, authorize the Ukraine to use these U.S. and U.K. weapons to hit long-range strikes into Russia. Now, Putin has pointed out correctly that the Ukrainians don't have any way to actually do that. These missiles are guided by satellite. The people have to operate them, have to have like all of this extensive training, all these things that the Ukraine does not have. So it will literally be NATO countries attacking Russia. From what I could understand and delve into and come to the conclusion, as most of you probably have as well, is that Britain seems to be at the forefront of it. Britain, for whatever reason, seems to be much more enthusiastic for this than their puppet master, the U.S. And so Britain seems to be taking the spearhead on this in a lot of ways. But this decision of whether to authorize these strikes, the NATO secretary recently said, you know, because Putin came out and said, well, if y'all do this, it's basically you're at war with us and we'll act accordingly. And the NATO secretary came out and said, well, he threatens, you know, World War III all the time and he doesn't escalate. So we don't have to worry about that. And that comes down to the argument, the essence of the argument that is probably that is going on behind closed doors. They want to do this. The UK is pushing for it. The US is a little bit reluctant because they need to send everything they've got to Israel. And so there's this argument and of, well, if we do this, will he really do anything? And the fact that this argument is happening at all lends credence to the argument that Putin has kind of set this situation up. He's a diplomat. He's been like one of the few adults on the world stage. Granted, you know, he's tried to be reasonable through this whole thing. You know, any casual observation of the facts, you know, leading up to this, you have to see that he's tried to be reasonable. He's tried to be diplomatic. They've been over backwards before this whole conflict in Ukraine kicked off. They did everything they could and have been rebuffed at every turn. And every escalation has come from the U.S. Now, someone would argue, well, the Russians escalated by, you know, invading the Ukraine. Well, invade the Ukraine. They invaded to protect these territories that declared independence full of Russian people. Now, Russia is not the only front that this is happening. And you look at Israel, which is, you know, the controlling state over the United States, and the way they deal with Iran. And I mean, you know, they launch attacks inside of Syria. They launch attacks inside of Iran. They carry out these most blatant escalatory things. And it is always the Iranians who are showing all of this restraint and showing restraint and not escalating. You have over and over, you have Israel doing these just blatant escalatory attacks. And then everybody, the U.S. and their vassal states running around tutting Iran and saying, don't you dare escalate. We don't want this to escalate into a wider war. And yet, well, then why don't you say something to Israel? Because it's obviously that's what they're doing. So you see this on multiple fronts and kind of the same thing with China. It's a little different with China's situation. So I'm not going to look at them very much. I thought we'd look mostly at Putin and Russia and the Iranians, those countries in the Middle East, and the way they've responded to this by not escalating. And in a way, not escalating is leading to more escalation. Just as Iran tries to show great restraint, the more blazing Israeli provocations become. The more Putin tries to show restraint and diplomacy and trying to appear reasonable on the world stage, the more the West gets, you know, the more provocative their actions become. That now we're to the point to where there's basically a behind doors argument back and forth of whether they can go ahead and push this long range missile strikes into Russia. And what would he really do? Would he really escalate to direct attacks on our country? So they don't think they will. It's not heartening that these discussions are taking place between a bunch of midwits that really don't have a clue. I mean, look at these people that are having these discussions. It's not very encouraging because they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. And this is in a way where everybody's fate is hanging in the balance on this decision that's going to be made by less than competent people. And yet, as Paul Craig Roberts does, you have to lay a certain amount of this fault on Putin himself, on the Iranians themselves, by their restraint. I mean, on the surface, yes, that restraint makes sense. You know, but at the same time, it is not given the results as far as de-escalation. Now, if my argument I had made before that Russia already had just come to terms with the fact that they're going to have a direct war with NATO, it's inevitable. So this is a way of grinding up their war-making capability. If that's the case, okay, but these long-range missiles are going to be that turning point, which brings us back to this feeling that something is coming. Something's going to come to a head. It's got to come to a head soon. I thought it'd be interesting, though, to contrast the statesmanship, diplomatic way, the restraint shown by Russia and Iran and others to these ever-escalating provocations, to the way Kim Jong-un, the way North Korea, the way Kim handles it. You can say what you want to about North Korea. They bullied North Korea in the sense that they put all the sanctions, which they're doing to Russia and Iran and the rest of them. That part's not new. But you'll notice something really different about the way North Korea is handled. You see, there's no talk of launching missiles into North Korea, is there? Why is that? Kim has made it very clear. They know they don't do that because they know that if they F around, they're going to find out, right? I mean, it doesn't matter. You can sit here and say, yeah, well, if the U.S. took all of their military and attacked North Korea, unless the Chinese got involved, they wouldn't have a chance. That may be true. Those are a lot of ifs in there. But that hypothetical may be true, but yet they don't do it. Why? I liken it to a bully. The U.S. and their vassal states, they're like a bully and his little gang of underlings that go around and mess with people. Kim and North Korea are that guy that the bully knows, yeah, I could probably kick his ass. But he also knows that guy will fight. And I mean, he won't like let you mess with him for a while and then fight. Like if you swing at him, that guy is going to jump in the middle and start throwing hands. You are bigger and stronger, and eventually, yeah, you could probably kick his ass, but you know you're going to get a bloody nose. You know you're going to get a black eye. You're not going to get in there clean. It's not like you're going to go just kick the weakling down and nothing, you know, come out of it, you know, chuckling and laughing. You know he's going to get some licks in. Your people like these midwits that are making these decisions, one thing they all have in common, you can look at them, like John Bolton, for instance, he's not in on this discussion of whether or not to launch these missiles at Russia. But here's an example of somebody. You look at this guy, and if war's involved, he's got a boner for it. He's all for it. And you look at the guy, and no, he's never been in a fight in his life. You know, he's obviously been coddled his whole life. You see, the people who always want to fight are the ones that never fight. Remember back when the argument, I'm getting a little off topic, we'll get back to it, but remember when people were writing ridiculous statements here years back and people were making statements like, you know, we should put women in charge of all of these countries because all these wars always come about by men. And yet almost daily, you read about some make-believe country in Eastern Europe or in the Baltics, you know, mouthing off about how they're not afraid to fight Russia and they're not even a real country. And to a nation almost, every one of them is run by some idiotic woman. Well, why would that be? Well, because a woman's never been in a fight. She has no idea what that even looks like. She's run abound. She's spent her whole life being protected by men, and she just assumes that's the way the world works. No negative repercussions will come upon them. And so you have a lot of times this madness where women are running around being the most vocal proponents of war. These nations, you're supposed to take a nation that's not even big enough to be a country, and you're supposed to take them serious when their defense ministry is run by a woman. It's all laughable and it's silly. And you look at these other people, these people in the U.S. government, this John Kirby guy. It looks like that guy has ever even gotten a knuckle busted. No. John Bolton. John Bolton never been in a fight in his life. He hasn't got a clue. You see, people that haven't been in a fight are always the biggest idea. You know, the ones that got the biggest idea about, yeah, I'll just kick their ass. Well, they've never actually been in a fight. They don't know what that looks like. They don't know what physical combat actually looks like. And yet you've got these kind of people making these decisions on the world stage of whether everybody else is going to get to go and fight and die. Something we really lost back in the days when kings used to lead the troops into battle. Now we have these little technocrats staying safe at home, these little pencil neck geeks issuing orders and commands for other people to go do the fighting, always assuming that they themselves and their families will be safe and secure back at home. You got all these people. They don't have any idea how fighting and conflict really work. And yet, you see this dynamic play out. Kim is that guy. Kim is that guy that he's going to throw hands. There's a reason there's no discussion about, well, maybe we should have South Korea just start launching missiles at North Korea. There's a reason they always keep it. There's always the other side that keeps it, you know, the rhetoric trimmed back. It's always the U.S. side that at the end of the day shows herself, oh, they might go with South Korea and hold a military exercise and really flex over there at North Korea. But that's always as far as it goes, isn't it? Because they know if they cross that DMZ line, they know it's on. They know that North Korea is not going to show restraint. They're not going to accept provocation. If you even come close to swinging at Kim, it's on. Hands are going to get thrown. He doesn't care if you're going to kick his ass. He's going to get his licks in. He understands. That's why I say these people don't understand. Yeah, you can win a fight, but it's not like on TV. It's not like on TV where you one punch this guy and he hits the ground. It ain't like that. Don't care who the guy is, unless he's just going to ball up on the ground, he's going to get some licks in. Even if you quote-unquote win, you're going to get a black eye. You're going to get a busted lip. You're going to get a bloody nose. You're going to get something. He's going to get some licks in. It didn't like what you see on TV. You see, Kim is that guy that if you act like you're going to swing, he's not afraid. Whether you're going to kick his ass or not isn't a deterrent to Kim. He knows. And so they don't mess with him. I mean, they mess with him with the sanctions and stuff like they mess with everybody else. You know, they do their little sneaky things. But there's no discussion about whether or not they're going to launch long range missiles into Pyongyang, is there? That's not that doesn't even come up on the table, does it? Why? Because they know it'll be on. You see, they know if they mess around, they're going to find out. They know Kim will throw hands. You see, now they're having this discussion. If we launch long-range missiles into heart of Russia, maybe even striking Moscow, will Putin really do anything? You see, that's what happens when you knuckle down and just ignore the bully. You know, women are always tough. If women have a son, this is the difference between men and women. If you have a child, if you have a son and he's in school and he's being bullied, you find out he's being bullied. You know, the dad will usually say, well, I don't know, maybe different now because we live in clown world time. But traditionally, the boy's father will say, well, what you do, son, is you hit that son of a bitch right in the face and don't quit throwing hands. But dad, I might get my ass kicked. It doesn't matter. Get your licks in. Because if you get your licks in, even if he kicks your ass, he's never going to mess with you again because he knows you'll fight. He'll go mess with somebody else that'll take it. It doesn't matter even if you lose, son. Trust me. If you get your licks in, he's not going to want any more of that. And if he does circle around and try it again, don't even hesitate. Just jump in the middle of him. He'll never mess with you again. A woman, on the other hand, will tell her son, just ignore them. If you ignore the bullies and don't react to them, then they'll get bored and they'll go away. But they never do, do they? A bully never gets bored and goes away. It becomes more fun. They don't get bored. Oh, it's not fun. He's not reacting to us. Let's go find somebody that will react. Maybe Kim over there. No, not Kim. Everybody knows Kim crazy. Kim will throw hands at you. He'll shove a nuke up your ass and set it off. He don't care. Well, don't mess with Kim. He's the crazy guy. They always do all these stories about how, oh, Kim is crazy. It never dawns on him. Maybe some of that, he wants you to think that, so you don't mess with him.
Just ignore the bullies, honey. Don't worry, sweetheart. If you ignore the bullies, they will eventually lead you alone. No, what do they do?
You hear these stories about kids that get bullied in school, and they get bullied to the point that they kill themselves. Mama been telling him, ignore the bullies and they'll leave you alone, honey. And then they find the kid hung himself in the closet, and they're like, why did this happen? Because your advice sucks. If you ignore the bullies, they just keep escalating. They started off making fun of you. Now they drawing crap all over your desk. You know, shoving your head in a toilet. You know, it just keeps escalating. Bullying behavior keeps escalating. You know who they ain't escalating against? Kim sitting back there in the corner mumbling to himself, because they know he crazy. He'll throw hands. It don't even matter if there's five of us on one. He don't care. That guy'll start slinging. Somebody's going to get hit in the face. We don't want a part of it. See that dynamic? Russia and Iran and many of these other countries, they've sat around and just ignored the bully. We're ignoring the bully. We want everybody in class to see that we're being the mature ones and they're the bad guys. Well, everybody in class is sitting around scared to do anything except for Kim in the back mumbling to herself, saying something. Everybody can hear he's mumbling something about they come over here and try that on me. Somebody getting their ass kicked. I mean, maybe me, maybe them, but somebody getting an ass whipped when they come over here in my area. That's why everybody's just ignoring him. And they over here messing with these other. This restraint, it makes sense on the surface. But this leads to this more and more escalation. Now they're having an argument. Well, does he really mean it this time? Because he said that. They came out and literally said that. Putin's issued a lot of red lines and he's never escalated. And that's true. And see, there's the problem. I understand being the adult on the stage, or the world stage, and trying to make people understand that, you know, the problem with it. Look, everybody in the world knows the problem with the U.S. Everybody knows. Now, at some point, you just tell people what they already know. Everybody knows the bully's an asshole. Look, everybody in class knows that. They're just trying not to be the next guy picked on. They're hoping if they don't make eye contact, maybe it won't be them next time. The only one in the world, in the classroom, that ain't worried about that's Kim. He knows they ain't going to mess with him because he'll fight. I get. Look, I understand. You might be sitting there thinking, GPD, you're oversimplifying this. You know, wars are not fist fights in a classroom. Yeah, I know that. The point, though, is, if you've either got a big mistake has happened here, or somebody's playing really, you know, 4D chess, as they say, you know, somebody has really planned ahead and planned well. It's one of the two cases, and particularly when it comes to Russia. If Russia, as I have proposed in the past, if Russia studied and thought about this and came to the conclusion years ago, it's inevitable we're going to be in a direct fight with NATO. So let's go ahead and let them use up all of their weapons and their money and bankrupt themselves with this proxy war with the Ukraine before that happens. If that is the case, then yeah, that's pretty smart strategic planning, but we're kind of coming to the end of where that can be played out. If that isn't the case and that isn't wasn't what occurred with Russia. Then you've got a case of akin to what we're talking about today. They've been taking mom's advice and ignoring the bully, and it's escalated to the point now you can either kill yourself or you're going to have to fight. Which is it? Who in our classroom scenario is closer to being in a fight with the bully? The guy that's been going around ignoring and now it's escalated to the point where he's cornered up in the corner of the classroom being spit on? Or Kim sitting in the back that everybody's pretending he's not there? Say what you want. Kim's the least likely to be in a fight because they already know they don't want to mess with him. They know what the outcome of that will be. The guy will fight. They're not sure if Putin will fight or not. Again, this brings us back to, it feels like things are coming to a head because this decision's going to be made, and these people making the decision are not very smart. I think they're high on their own farts. I think they have, at that crazy point, they've started believing their own BS, their own propaganda. I think they are sitting around going, I don't think they've even considered the idea, hey, what if Russia is actually tricking us into using up all of our military capability, and then when they do fight, we've already exhausted ourselves, and we're going to be the ones getting our asses kicked. I don't think they've even considered that. I think they're just, well, what's he really going to do? Surely he wouldn't want to fight the mighty United Kingdom. The mighty Britain. One of the two things. If this has been a long-term strategy playing out to get the West to exhaust themselves, launching missiles into Russia, these long-range missiles, is it going to be the end of that? It's like they have this vision. Because they're running around listening to this idiot Zelensky talking about, oh, well, we're going to bring the pain of the war to the Russian people. What do they think is going to happen with that? Do they envision, and I think they do, because at best these people are midwits, at worst they're complete morons. I think they have this vision that if these missiles start landing in Moscow, in Russia proper, deep into Russia, that the Russian people are going to rise up in protest and demand that Putin surrender to the West. That they are going to be so unsettled by this that they're going to demand Russia surrender, that Putin stop this right now and give in to all the demands of the anal empire. Well, I think they're partially right. I think there will be protests in the street. I think there'll be even protests in the street against the government and against Putin. But those protests aren't going to be, you need to surrender to the Ukraine. The protests are going to be, you need to level that place. You need to be striking London. You need to be striking Washington, D.C. What the hell are you doing? Why are you, now you're letting them launch it. You're letting them, you look weak. The protests aren't going to be, you need to surrender to the Jewish comedian in the Ukraine and to his U.S. and U.K. puppet masters. The protests are going to be, why is Kiev still not a smoking crater in the ground now? Why have you let this go on? The protest is going to be against the restraint that they have shown. It'll come to it all hinges on this. If they back off, okay, so be it. But what will be the next? They're not going to back off and quit escalating. So what's going to be the next? What's going to be the next move? I have admittedly boiled this down into a very simplistic form, but that's the way it's easiest to understand these things. I do know it gets more complicated. You have this dynamic going where Britain, for some reason, just I think because, as I say often, it's like Britain tries to delude itself that it's still some sort of mighty world power, and it's just this obscure, stupid island that nobody cares about. You know, Britain is really pushing this. The U.S. is not quite so gung-ho. And granted, at the end of the day, the U.S. has to say so, because the U.S. knows they need to take what little they have left that they haven't already burned up in this foolish adventure. And they're going to have to send it to their master shot callers in Tel Aviv. They're going to have to send what money and weapons they have left Israel. And there's no, you know, there's not a decision. Do we send it here or here? When the boss man calls and says, I want it, they're going to send it. So the U.S. is a little hesitant that you got Britain over here going, no, we need to come on now. Start launching the storm shadows. Nothing will happen. Besides, if something does happen, we have the U.S. at our backs. So here we are. The possible fate of a worldwide hot conflict breaking out is hinging on what decisions are made by these morons. Who are just decide? You notice nothing in the discussion is whether or not, what are we trying to even achieve here? Oh, we're risking World War III on the decision from a bunch of midwits as to whether or not Putin will actually go ahead and fight World War III. But to what benefit? I mean, what are we gambling to gain here? What exactly, you know, okay, what do we get? NATO in the Ukraine? Whoop-de-doo. I mean, what do we get from that? They've completely lost the plot. They've just bought into their own propaganda. They've sniffed their own farts to the point that they're not even thinking about that. It's just, well, can we do this next thing now? How about if we do this next thing? Will anything happen? Just the possible fate of millions of people hanging in the balance in the hands of these guys. Again, if the Russians long ago came to the conclusion they're going to have to fight NATO anyway, we're getting close to that point. If they kept thinking they were going to negotiate and de-escalate somehow by being reasonable, then I think those illusions are fixing to be forcefully dispelled. The one guy doesn't have any illusions. The one guy nobody's talking about whether or not to start launching is Kim. Kim in North Korea. They're not messing with him. They're not messing with him because they know he'll fight. And so we're not at this point of, gee, maybe war is going to break. Maybe we should launch a war in the Korean Peninsula. They're not even talking about what kind of provocative actions can we take there, because they already know the answer to that. And in a sense, maybe we would be further away from war if Vladimir Putin and the Iranians, and to a lesser extent the Chinese, perhaps we would be further away from war if Putin and the likes had taken a few lessons from Kim Jong-un. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great week. I'll be back tomorrow with the Perish the Patriots program. It's already been recorded. It's already in the can. It's already set up to roll tomorrow. I got to do nothing. It's ready to go. You don't want to miss it. We have a great discussion. It's going to be a fun discussion. I hope you'll check it out. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist show. I know you all love it. Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday with his Daily Nationalist. Always informative. And I'll be here Friday to wrap up your week. I hope you have a great week. As always, keep the faith. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.